Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
An amazing song coming out there, keeping us dancing and on our feet. JC's way with So Good. Yep, we serve an amazing God. It's talking about what you'd want to be remembered for. We don't have much time for this, but you can always drop me a text on 0826572729. And Nicoline, I love you. Nicoline Khadebe says, good day, Luko. I love your playlist today. Yeah, got me dancing as well, Nicoline. And thank you so much for tuning in. It's really great to hear from you. I love you for spending some time with me today. Here's a little something by Dr. Anka Dubia just for you.
Good day. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back. So today we're going to continue with Aldred on the line on Demonic Games as promised. Good day, Aldred.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to be here. Thank you for the privilege.
Yeah, thank you for connecting us via the telephone. Much appreciated, because I cannot do this podcast without you. You are the absolute expert with regards to gaming. But so in the previous part one and two and three of gaming, we talked a lot about what's happening in the brain, and we talked about dopamine, and we talked about serotonin. And then we specifically mentioned a game, Call of Duty, which falls under the genre of first-person shooter games. And we've talked about, you know, what we see with regards to the effect of first-person shooter game on children. But today, Aldred, I want you to please talk to me about a complete different genre of games, and that is what we call demonic games. And you also mentioned in your testimony that you ended up with playing demonic games at the end of your gaming career. So tell us about that.
Yes, you know, like any addiction, there has to be some kind of escalation. You either escalate in the frequency that you play, or the intensity, or any kind of addiction, frequency and intensity, you know. An example will be like with alcohol. Obviously, you start with very light drinks, and you know, as you get addicted, it has to go to you know higher percentages of alcohol. And same thing with any kind of addiction. Same thing with gaming. I started off many years ago, just to keep it nice and short, with obviously Counter Strike, and you know, back then, you know, Age of Empires, and then StarCraft 1. Obviously, as I progressed through the years, the addiction got worse. Ended up with me couldn't increase in frequency and playtime, obviously, because I was committed to roughly about 5, 6, maybe 7 hours. There's just not enough time in the day, you know, and obviously having, you know, the kind of need for a bigger dopamine hit, it had to go to a more intensive kind of game, and ended up eventually with playing a very demonic game. And the game I played at that point in time was Diablo 3. So Diablo 3 is, obviously, as we know, Diablo is the Spanish word for devil. And, you know, needless to say, obviously, playing the game, being aware of it now, there's a lot of evil demonic influences in Diablo 3, and it's really uncanny. You know, if you go through demonology and having some kind of knowledge of the Bible, how many characters of, you know, demonic entities in the Bible is mentioned or named in a game like Diablo 3. So it's very important to kind of just make the listeners aware, you know, that it's not even enough just, you know, for the plain dopamine hit, but, you know, there also has to be an increase in intensity, and it could also lead to moving over to games like Diablo 3, or other kind of demonic games.
So what then will you say, in your opinion, is basically a definition of demonic games?
Well, I would say demonic games is a kind of genre in games where, you know, the intent there is to create a kind of an evil or demonic kind of atmosphere, you know, where you obviously play the game. For some interesting reason, you know, it's being a gamer for many years, you're going to have a lot of people having their nicknames. You know, I can remember when I was playing even like a Battlefield, and we used to fly the jets. You know, there was this other guy, you know, and his name was Kayubi Demon, you know, and You're going to find gamers that really, you know, have nicknames with demonology in them. I can remember another guy, he had Satan turn around, Natas, that kind of stuff. You know, so for some reason, young kids and gamers, they really have this affinity almost for, you know, even just creating avatars, evil avatars, or just naming themselves according to demonology and stuff like that. So it is really a kind of an atmosphere that's created by the gaming developers of demonology. And obviously, as I mentioned before, it's a spiritual attack. You know, it's obviously you come into a contact with kind of a spiritual war between evil and good, and obviously being exposed to evil continuously and, you know, maybe going to church like once every Sunday, then your spirit's going to deviate more towards the evil side. And this is why I would say if your spirit is more drawn towards the evil side, you know, you want more evil around you. And that's probably why a lot of the kids, you know, have this kind of very demonic nicknames and avatars while they play the games.
You know, and I'm just reminded about that scripture where the Bible says, you know, that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And I do think that a lot of people will say, and it was, and I know for a fact it was definitely your excuse as well, or your, you know, defending yourself saying, but it is just a game. Is it true, Aldred, that playing a demonic game or playing the character of a demon or maybe doing things like necromancing and spirit walk and spell casting, is it just a game or can it have a real effect on your spirit?
It is, you know, it is normally one of the very common excuses I normally get when I speak to gamers. You know, the excuse is normally, yeah, but it's only a game. It's not real people, you know. I'm not really cursing real people or casting spells, you know. And then there's a kind of threefold answer to this, you know, and I've developed this over the years. But just to come back to the whole thing, you know, if you read the Bible, if I understand things correctly in the Bible, you know, God is a God of hearts. It's more concerned about the intent of your heart. There's many scriptures I can quote, you know, where the word of God is like a double-edged sword. You know, it's more concerned about the intent or the thoughts. So God is a God of heart. He even, you know, said in the Bible, if you look at a woman with the wrong intent, you've already committed the sin of adultery. So to summarize it, you know, if you play a game and your intent is to kill someone or to curse someone or to cast a spell on someone, the intent is there, you know, and I think there's a reason why Jesus said, you know, if you do things with the wrong intent, you know, he was obviously prophesying in things like, you know, technology coming across, you know, your intent. What is your heart intent when you play a game? Obviously, adrenaline flowing, dopamine flowing, everything. Things get really aggressive and you start swearing and, you know, things go out of control. And it's important, you know, the very interesting thing for me when I started reading up and doing research on the whole neurophysiology of gaming, bringing it back to that scripture of intent, you know, if there's an intent or you plan something. Now, if you look at research and dopamine, many years ago, we used to believe that dopamine is released once you do the action that causes it to be released. But that's not the research at the moment. The research now shows that when you have an anticipation of doing the action that will release dopamine, then it's really flowing. So that's again intent. It's an anticipation, and that's exactly what Jesus said. If you think about something, it's wrong. So once you think about something that might increase dopamine, dopamine is being released, and that is where everything spirals out of control, obviously. So there's definitely intent. When you have the intent, you know, like Jesus said, the intent of killing someone, the intent of committing adultery, the intent of witchcraft, you know, the deadly sins, we obviously know, going through Galatians, you know, the fruit of the flesh. Then obviously if there's intent, then your heart has already committed that kind of a sin, even before you've gone through the actions of doing it.
So your soul and your spirit playing this demonic game will obviously be affected by it, whether you are aware of it or not. Is that what you are saying?
I would agree with that. I think, you know, we have to also understand, you know, like you were quoting before, you know, the wiles of the enemy. You know, and that's what the enemy is going to do. He's going to create a kind of a smoke screen that makes you believe, well, it's okay for me to do this because, you know, it's really not the real thing. But again, like I say, it's a smoke screen. There's a saying, you know, even half a lie or half truth is a lie.
Yeah.
So you only have to you to believe a half truth, then in essence you still believe a lie. And that's the problem. That's creating the intent of playing games, the money games, everything. It's fine to play it, you know, I'm not doing anybody any harm, which is true, but on the spiritual realm, in the spiritual level and God's realm, things happen differently. You know, in that realm, they don't even have to be action. It's only about the intent of being the action, you know, then you've already committed that sin. So we need to be aware of this, not in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm, because God judges according to the spiritual realm, not according to the physical realm. So we need to be very clear on, you know, the spiritual effect of games on a person, on a child. You know, what are they exposed to? And if they're exposed to that, you know, what is it going to lead to? Behavior, intent, and even more importantly, the spiritual effect of the child.
Yeah. So there's quite a list of demonic games. I think well-known one probably is Doom. We get Evil Dead. We get Shadows of the Dam, Dark Souls. So there's quite a list of demonic games. Devil May Cry, 1, 2, 3, 4, which these children play. But I think now the most popular demonic game that we do see is a game called Diablo. And recently Diablo 4 was released. And it's also the game that you ended up playing is Diablo. So me and you were shocked the other day, Aldred, when someone sent us the picture that we now see that a company like KFC have joined hands with these game producers. And now also you see these demonic figurines in as a toy giving out by KFC. And we also have seen that McDonald's have joined them where you can have this Baphomet burger. So tell us just a little bit about this.
Yeah, it's shocking to me. You know, when I was looking at this, I was like, "Are you really even aware of what you're doing?" You know, not to be funny or anything, you know, but if I was, let's say, a Christian, and I had a big like international company, why would I honestly, you know, introduce children to demonology? You know, handing out little models of the demons, why honestly would you do that? Why would you expose children to this? And obviously, you know, a child being very curious, they're going to try and research, but what is this? Diablo 4, okay, I've got a figurine of, let's say, for example, Lilith, or I've got a figurine of Diablo, or Mephisto, or Baal, whatever. You're going to be curious enough to go on the internet and going to research, okay,
yes,
but who is Mephisto, who is Diablo, who is Baal? And that's going to open up doors that you want to keep shut.
Absolutely.
You know, once you open up these doors, you know, it's very, very dangerous. You open up channels to these demons to actually speak into your life. And even just, you know, like I said, just thinking about this, when you are playing a game like Diablo, you know, whose names are you constantly speaking? You're speaking demonology. You're speaking Diablo, Mephisto, Baal. So I want to think in the spiritual realm, if you call on these things continuously and name these names continuously, there must be some kind of legal right that you're giving to these demons, basically.
To
Satan.
Yeah.
To, you know, because now, by speaking the names, you're acknowledging that these demons exist, and you're actually speaking them into existence, because this is the way we were made. We were made in the image of God, and God created with words. So if we're going to speak, you know, you can either speak good or evil. If you're going to speak evil and you're going to call these things into being, you're going to have a really big problem. And this is probably why a lot of children have got this really demonic dreams. And I can recall also, you know, when I was playing a lot of games, also having episodes of demonic dreams at points.
Yes.
And when I did the research into Diablo 3, I was actually shocked, you know, obviously having a little bit of history of demonology, but even going into it a little bit further, I just was completely shocked and amazed at the names of these characters and, you know, the storyline of Diablo 3, which is absolutely shocking. And it actually gave me a scare to think of, and I was even an adult male at the point of, you know, at that point. But thinking about children playing this game, being exposed to this kind of demonology, which they're not even aware of, you know, what kind of open doors spiritually, you know, has to happen when children play these games.
But so Diablo 4, and actually the slogan of Diablo 4 is Welcome to Hell, which is shocking in itself. But Diablo 4 is built around a mythological character or a demon with the name of Lilith. But even Lilith itself can sow so many seed of deception in a child's life. So just tell us a little bit about Lilith and what is the myth or the story around Lilith.
Okay, so Lilith is not mentioned in the Bible as far as I know, but, you know, there's a lot of Jewish commentaries, you know, mentioning the existence of Lilith. So it is believed that Lilith was Adam's first wife. But because she was not very disobedient and disrespectful to Adam, you know, she was basically discarded. Now Lilith, if you look at demonology, Lilith is supposed to be linked to a lot of abortions, you know. So it's basically a demon of abortion. So she is the main character of Diablo 4. And if you look at the preview of Diablo 4 or the gaming preview, Lilith is referred to as the creator. And that's kind of shocking to me, you know.
But it's blasphemy at its best.
Yeah, so I know that there's a specific point before she's introduced where she is referred to as the creator. And even just, you know, reading up on this, I'm going to just read you a quick paragraph giving you some kind of background on Diablo 4 and what it's about.
Yeah, okay, please do.
Let's read it. Okay. So as the eternal conflict dragged on, Lilith, tired of her father's approach to the conflict. So Lilith's father was Mephisto, who was one of the three prime evils in Diablo 3, and took equally dim view on the leadership of Diablo and Baal. Now, Baal is the second prime evil, and we know Baal, obviously, in the Bible. It's referred to as the Egyptian god of fertility and violence and war, okay? And we know there was a lot of Baal worshipping in the Bible.
Yes.
And then going along with her brother, so Lilith's brother's name is Lucian. So it doesn't take, you know, a lot of PhDs
yes.
to Lucian, obviously.
Yes, Lucifer, yeah.
Okay, so it's a very subtle kind of, you know, play on the name. In one such battle, Lilith took an angel as a prisoner and brought him to a lair of amusement. She was ready to torture him, but to her surprise, her touch breathed new life into the angel. The angel named Inarius awoke and rambled incoherently about his desire to escape the eternal conflict. Lilith realized that she and Inarius were of similar mind. Okay, so this is a demon and an angel having a similar mind.
Ew.
Concerning the never-ending war.
It's absolute blasphemy.
Yeah, and she began to see Inarius as an individual she could manipulate towards her ends, and she gave Inarius her name. She could tell that Inarius was besotted with her, and told him that they had to steal the world stone to use it to create a new world. Only then could they be together. So this is an angel and a demon. This was the first time in the eternal conflict that an angel or demon had ever set aside differences, let alone from a union.
Sure.
So this is just a very short paragraph of background to one of the main characters, or probably the main character of Diablo 4. So this is completely shocking to me, you know, kind of a union between an angel and a demon, being like-minded, you know, thinking about the same things, and her, you know, her touching him Creator breathe life into him, you know, and creating new worlds. So it's, you know, obviously blasphemy all the way through. But this is a kind of storyline that you will be, given as the Diablo 4 story.
Yes, but you know what? I think also it's an absolute attempt of the devil to just sow seeds of confusion and disorder and discord. And if you are not firmly rooted in the Word of God, if you do not understand why do I believe what I believe, if you do not understand truth and what truth means to you, if you do not have a biblical worldview, this type of game will throw you. Do you agree?
I agree, but just to bring you back to the previous version, Diablo 3. Let me bring you back to Diablo's story. So Diablo's story, the main character is, you are basically a Nephilim. So Nephilim has got also a very strong reference to the
yes.
Bible, obviously. What is a Nephilim? A Nephilim is basically the creature that was created when a human had intercourse with a fallen angel, and then obviously a Nephilim was born. And
that's Genesis 6.
Yeah, Genesis 6, and that's a superhuman race, obviously. So your character is a Nephilim. So this Nephilim can either be in the form of a barbarian, can be in the form of a witch doctor, can be a form of a wizard, you know, all of them. So that's your main character. So basically what has to happen is, as a Nephilim, as you go around, you're basically defeating demons by using demonology.
Sure.
So it's a kind of a weird thing, you know, and as you go through the game, you're going to accumulate stones and setting different kind of set pieces of armor together to increase your power. Obviously, you know, getting what they call mojo as a witch doctor that makes your spell casting more powerful. So it's very interesting how they, present this. Because you're going to think, firstly, if I defeat evil, I am good. But you cannot defeat evil with evil,
yeah.
Because the Bible teaches us that if any kind of union is divided against itself, you cannot defeat anything else.
Yes.
So this is the kind of thing that the game is play on, you know. So you're thinking I'm good because I'm defeating evil, but I am defeating evil by using technology and spell casting to defeat evil. So it's a kind of very subtle way they wean you into this kind of almost like a demonic world by using spell casting, because I'm using spell casting for something good. So this is an important thing to me, but also bringing you back to the characters in Diablo. Diablo is one of them. Mephisto is the second prime evil. Baal is the third one. And some of the other characters also use. The first one is Asmodan, which is also a strong reference to one of the,
yes.
The demons in the Bible. Belial, which we also have, and Dariel and Duriel. And there's also reference in the storyline to using falling angels to help aid your evil conquest to defeat evil. So it's a completely twisted storyline, you know, with a lot of demonology built into it.
Yeah, that is shocking, absolute shocking. But listen, Aldred, we need to continue this conversation on demonic games. But for now, our time is up on this podcast. And thank you again for joining us. Thank you for sharing your information and also just, you know, opening your heart with regards to your own personal testimony. And I thank you also for the work that you are doing amongst the young children.
It's my pleasure, and I can't wait for the next session.
Thank you, Aldred. Speak soon.
Bye.
Tapelo ya motho yo lukileng ena le matla. Tswela pele go rapelela Radio Pulpit moshumong o re o dirang Afrika Borwa le ka ntlhagamelwane ya yona.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.
He is indeed a dependable God. Man, I haven't heard that song in a long time. That's Victor Thompson with Dependable God. Taking us to 20 minutes to 3. And I must say, very informative. Big thanks to Anke and Aldred for always just sharing some info on digital information with us. Really, absolutely, absolutely love it. And I think as a parent as well, not only as a parent, but a person also who's very much into the digital world, it really is eye-opening for me as well. Absolutely love it. Still so much more coming up, but we are left literally with less than 10 minutes together, and then I've got to bail out for the day. So in the next couple of minutes together, remember to drop me that WhatsApp and tell me, what would you love to be remembered for? It's 0826572729. It's only a matter of time before I do my goodbye, but for now, here's an old time fave, Ngubeko and Ndokozo Mbambo with Favor.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.